Open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 118. And let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. Oh, what a beautiful presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, the teacher, who will lead and guide us this morning into all truth. We tap into you, Holy Spirit, the true teacher of the church. We thank you for the honor and the privilege to be able to bring the word of God this morning, the incorruptible, true, unchanging word of God. We receive everything you have for us this morning, Father, and we thank you for it, and we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Our series, Overcoming Fear. God's been teaching us some things, and he's going to continue to do so this morning. And as we read Psalm 118, I want to read from verse 6. This morning I want to look at, it's an act of the will to fear not. It's an act of the will. So if we choose to fear, that's a choice of the will. But we can also choose not to fear. So let's read from verse 6 of Psalm 118 this morning. And let's just unpack some things that the Lord has put on my heart this morning to share. The King James says this, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord takes my part with them that help me, therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." Now, we could just read that text and spend all morning unpacking that. But there's a few things I want to just show you about this scripture first that will help us understand how and why we can make a choice not to fear. Firstly, the writer of this psalm, and I believe it's David, he said, "The Lord is on my side." Do you notice that first? Well, if the Lord's on your side, you've got a good reason not to fear. If the Lord's not on your side, you've got every reason to fear. But the psalmist says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear." Now, that's a choice, an absolute choice. See, in Deuteronomy 30:19, you don't need to turn there, but you can take a note of it. You know, God declared to Moses, he said, you know, "I've called heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've called it, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, you choose life." So he's saying, I've made a record in heaven. And I've set two options before you. But I'm not going to choose your option. But I've made a record in heaven. You can choose life, me, or you can choose death, separation. Well, fear is exactly the same. If we fear, it's because we've chosen to enter in to the side of fear. It's a choice. Now, remember from the beginning of this series, we discovered in Scripture that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we don't have a spirit of fear in us. It's not in the born-again believer. So if we don't have that spirit in us, then there's absolutely no reason for us to submit to it, because it's an external force. It's not produced out of the recreated human spirit. Understand that. The fruit of the Spirit does not include fear. Do you notice that? Love, joy, peace, goodness, temperance, faithfulness, kindness, self-control. It doesn't include fear. I'll tell you why, because it's not in the human spirit that's recreated. It's an external spiritual force. See, faith is a spiritual force. It's not a head thing. You can't intellectualize the scriptures. You've got to receive it by faith. You've got to allow revelation from heaven to penetrate the spirit. That's why we meditate on the word day and night. So the revelation of the word can go deep into our heart because of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. See, when you've got a sudden situation pressing against you, I'm telling you now, what's in your heart is going to come out. When you have a sudden situation which is pressing against you and there's a potential for you to rise up in fear, of the abundance of your heart you will speak. So what's in your heart in good measure is going to come up, because that's the way the recreated spirit works. So I will not fear. 63 times in the Bible that phrase is used. 63 times. I will not fear. Now it's interesting. And again, you can take a note of this. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? See, the psalmist is saying, the Lord's on my side. So because the Lord's on my side, why would I fear? Why would I fear? The Lord's with me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, why would I fear evil? Why would I fear it? Because the Lord's with us. Amen. See, if God be for us, or if God be with us, who can be against us? What can man do to you and I? Kill the body, we go home. Think about it. What can man actually do to you? He can lie. He can try to oppress. He can steal. But he can't take your faith. He can't penetrate your recreated human spirit. He can't force you to deny your Lord and Savior unless you choose to do it. Man can't do that. Man can kill the body, but he can't kill the spirit. They killed Stephen. But he said, I see the glory of God. I see the heavens open. I see Jesus standing. He wasn't seated. Do you notice that? He was standing in honor. That's my boy, Stephen. That's my boy. He was standing at the right hand of the Father. Wow. Fear. This thing wants to destroy us. It's insidious. It's evil. And the world feeds it. It's why you've got to stop listening to the voice of the world. If you are in a habit of listening to it, be cautious, because the world feeds this monster and it wants to take it and infect you with it. Go with me to Proverbs 29, the next book. A couple of pages from the end of Proverbs. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Proverbs 29, 25, it says this: the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever or whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe, or shall be set on high. Well, we're already seated in heavenly places, aren't we? So the fear of man is a snare. Now, the best translation of that is when you put a hook in the nose of a big beast and you drag it along. Now, it doesn't take a lot to cause a very large, weighty animal to follow you when there's a hook in its nose. Am I right? Just comes with you, just goes with you. That's exactly what that snare is. So when we allow the devil to lie, and that's what he does, he puts a hook in our nose. And he starts leading us. That's what fear of man is. We don't fear men. We don't fear men. Why do we fear men? What can they do to us? We're born again. We're recreated. That's why I say to people, forget your past. Your past is dead. There is no past. How can your past impact on you? How can it do it? Shadow of a dog never bit anyone. Shadows don't bite. That's a shadow. It's gone. We've got a glorious future. We must go forward with a glorious future. But fear wants to stop that glorious future. And in this church, we're going to stand against it. Amen. We're going to draw the line. Fear is not going to compromise individuals. It's not going to compromise this church. Why? Because this is an insidious evil. And it's not good. Fear is not okay. Fear is not okay. Caution is okay. Fear is not okay. God's given us wisdom and caution so that we don't harm and injure ourselves. But there's a difference between that and fear. All right? So the fear of man is a snare. So it's interesting. You know, when David said, you know, the Lord is on my side, well, the Lord's never going to leave us, is he? He's never going to leave us. He said in Matthew, you know, the end of Matthew in 28 and verse 20, you know, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And again, Hebrews 13 and verse 5, if you want to take notes, in both those scriptures, he's made it clear the Lord will never leave us and he will never forsake us. I don't care how you feel about whether the Lord's with you, but your feelings have nothing to do with this word. You can wake up in the morning feeling, well, the Lord's not very close to me this morning. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because the word says he'll never leave you. You need to shut your feelings down. Your feelings lie. Word doesn't. The word is truth. We've got to shut those things. Faith does not operate on feeling or emotion. If you don't get that, you can't walk this journey of faith. It's got nothing to do with what you feel. It's got everything to do with what he said. So you wake up this morning not feeling very close to God. Praise him. Praise him anyway. And I can tell you right this morning, God was pleased with our praise. Because he just, presence just manifested. Why? Because we shut everything else out and we give it over to him and we let God be God in our midst. That's what we want. We want the presence, his glorious presence in this place. Go with me to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3. These are to lay a foundation this morning. Sorry, did I say Psalm? Chapter 3? Yeah, no, you're right. Psalm chapter 3, yep. This is interesting. This was a psalm David penned when Absalom, his son, was chasing after him. You know, Absalom rebelled and it cost him his life in the end. Verse 5, I lay me down and sleep. I awake for the Lord sustain me. Say it again. I laid me down and slept. I awaked for the Lord sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Bearing in mind, he said that when Absalom's elite, who had rallied themselves with him, were chasing after David. And there was a big war in the forest between Absalom and David's men under the command of Joab. And they fought. Absalom ended up on a donkey, ended up in a tree with his hair caught in it, and then they killed him. So, and of course, David grieved over the loss of his son. But he had a wicked spirit, Absalom. And he stole the hearts of the people. Interesting. But what is David saying here? I will not be afraid. Why? Because he's putting his hope and trust in the Lord God Almighty. Now, I want you to think of that verse of Scripture and compare it. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 3. I want you to compare that. So he slept at night knowing that there was an army after him. But the Proverbs in verse 24 says this. Proverbs 3, 24. When you lie down, you shall not be what? Afraid. Yea, you shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord shall be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. Now, if you study that in context, the reason why you sleep well at night is because you meditate on the word. You study the scriptures. You get the wisdom of God into your heart. That's the reason why you can sleep well. If you're struggling at night to sleep, take a pill. The gospel. Take it before you go to bed. Take it. It'll help you sleep at night. It has no side effects. You can't overdose on it. Because if you read the scriptures, it says, and I'm going to repeat it again, when you lie down, you shall not be afraid. You shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. Now, is that in the Word of God? Yes. Well, then that's a truth from heaven. That means you and I can sleep sweet if you do it His way. We're not to be rolling around in bed afraid. The only way we can do that is when we cast our care to the Lord. We've got to cast cares. Can I say this? And I know in my spirit this morning, not everyone in this church gets it. That's why I've got to keep repeating it. You're going to have to cast your care, people. If you think that you're going to be a faith giant for the Lord, carrying burdens in your heart that you can't remove and change, you're kidding yourself. You know, the only way we soar with wings of eagles is when we're not laden down with burdens. You've got to cast cares when they come. You can't hold on to them for a moment. Not a moment. I'll tell you why. Because they're going to keep you pecking like turkeys on the ground. You'll never lift off if you don't lift the cares. I tell you, there's a lot of things in my life. If I didn't cast cares, I tell you, I wouldn't be here. I'm serious. You couldn't do this if you didn't give it to God. If you didn't trust God to turn up every Sunday, what would you do? But He does. In spite of us. He turns up because He loves us. Remember, we've got to believe the love. John said it. 1 John. Got to believe the love. In little John books. Got to believe the love. So our sleep can be sweet. Go to Psalm 27. I know we're moving in and out of Psalms and Proverbs, but there's a lot in this that I want to lay before we move into something else. Psalm 27, verse 1 to 3. This is scripture, people. We can take this and make it ours. We can make it our truth. Psalm 27, and again, David speaking, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" We were sort of singing that today, weren't we, that last song? He's all those things. He's our strength. He's our portion. He's our everything. And He is. It's amazing. "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh? They stumble and they fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." Do you notice He said His heart? His heart. His heart shall not fear. He's not going to allow things to penetrate that inner core being with fear, because fear compromises faith. We're going to look at that too. So He said those things. It was a declaration. "Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Wow. David trusted his God. And he knew he had nothing else outside of God. And that's the difference. And we're in the same position. All right, go forward to Psalm 112. We've read this many times before. But again, it gives us insight. Psalm 112. This is talking about a righteous man. I want to read from verse 6. "Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings or evil news." You know what? You need to say that every time you hear something on the news or you're watching it on the internet. So I'm not afraid of that. Speak to your news. I'm not afraid of that. Oh, there's things going on in this. I'm not afraid of that. There's this flu virus coming. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that. You need to speak to it and declare it. He says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed." Why is it fixed? He's trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. We have to have an established heart. And our heart is established because we make the word our foundation. So we're not moved by bad news because we've got an established heart. And that's what Abraham had. You know, he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to keep. He was not moved. He didn't stagger at the promises of God in unbelief, but was strong in faith, wasn't he? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. See, when you're strong in faith, you give glory to God even when you haven't got the promise yet. See, a lot of people want to give glory to God when they got the promise. But he gave glory to God before the promise. We give him glory because in the spirit it's done. That's how faith brings it into the natural realm. So, established heart is fully persuaded that God, what God has promised, he is able to perform. Now, we've got great and precious promises here. An established heart does not waver. Does not waver. Go with me to James at the back of the book, past Hebrews. This will help us this morning in establishing what we need to establish in our hearts. Verse 5 of James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, does anyone here lack wisdom? I need wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives all men illiberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now there's a caveat on this. So you're going to get up there and ask God for wisdom. Just make sure that you follow the instructions here, because it just doesn't come because you ask. It comes because you got oneness of heart and mind. He says this, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Gee, that sounds harsh, doesn't it? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. No, it's not harsh. It's because a double-minded man loses what he's asked for. Loses it. You speak it to call it in, and then you speak something else and you lose it. So you've got to be single-minded, because when you're double-minded, you're going to be double conversation as well. You're going to be double in your word. You know, is your word consistent? Are you speaking the word consistently, or are you not? Are you saying one thing and then saying something different tomorrow? That stuff's got to stop people. We can't. This journey of faith is yes and amen. We can't say yes and then have doubt the next day and speak it, because you rip up your seed. So sometimes if you're finding that your faith is two steps forward and one step back, it's because you're plowing up your field. You're ripping your seed out of the ground. Don't do it. That's for me too. We need to, once we declare it, that's it. And if you've got people around you that don't agree with it, remove yourself from that and stand firm in your faith. And if you're believing for something that's really important, then don't tell everyone. Tell people that you trust and trust alone, that will stand with you and agree with you. But don't tell the world about your issue that you're believing for, when half the people that you're telling want to rip the seed out of you and they're dream stealers. Don't do it. Be very, very guarded there. Be very guarded. All right. John 14. Go back to John 14. Oh, there's so much in this morning. Praise the Lord. God is good, amen? Amen? Oh, he's a good God. John 14, verse 27. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Words in red. I like the words in red. Jesus says something which is pretty profound. Well, everything he said was profound. But he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be what?
Afraid.
Now that's a command of the Lord. But there's a couple of things you want to understand. He says, peace, which is my peace, I give to you. Not as the world gives. So the world gives a form of peace. Am I right? Because you said it. Not as the world gives. So you got to think, but what does the world give? Well, it's not the peace of God. The world doesn't give that. And can I tell you something else too? Jesus didn't come into the earth to give the world peace. Don't get caught up with all that, you know, we want world peace. We want everyone to just enjoy this. Never going to happen. He never came to give the world peace. He came to give the church peace. Now, if we doubt that, let's have a look at Luke 12. Have a look at Luke 12. Look what he says here. That word peace, by the way, means prosperity, rest, or quietness. My prosperity, rest, and quietness I'm giving to you, boys. Wow. Think about it. He said, my prosperity, my rest, and my quietness I'm giving to you. Now, that's why he said, don't be troubled, which is agitated, and don't be afraid, which is timid. Don't be agitated, don't be troubled, because I'm giving you prosperity, rest, and quietness. You didn't hear that, did you? You didn't get that. He's giving you prosperity, prosperity, which is all of heaven's prosperity, rest, you've got to enter into his rest, and quietness. That's what he's given you. That's why he says, don't let your heart be agitated, and don't be timid, because I'm giving you prosperity, rest, and quietness. I'm giving it to you. I'm not giving the world prosperity, rest, and quietness. And I can tell you right now, look at the world. Has he given that to the world? Of course he hasn't given that to the world. The world's in a state. Why? Because their underlord is demonic. And he hasn't got rest and quietness and prosperity. All he's got is fear and hate and lies and deception. Have a look in Luke chapter 12. If you're not there, I'm getting there. Chapter 12, verse 51. Suppose ye that I've come to give peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. Ooh. You don't get caught up in this garbage world narrative about inclusion and everyone's equal and all this. You've got to be tolerant. He said, I didn't come to bring peace to the world. I bring division. You know why? Because you're either on God's side or you're on the devil's. Amen. You're either for Jesus or you're for Satan. Choose life or death, blessing or cursing. Your choice. So if you choose Jesus and you choose life, you choose prosperity and you choose rest and you choose victory, you choose the devil, you're going to be stolen from continually. He's a thief. He's a thief. And the Lord's putting something in my heart, a message to stir me about that whole notion of the thief and what that means. And that'll come out in time. But there's a lot in that. And it's got a lot to do with the truth of the Word of God being preached. He wants to steal this.
Yes.
I'm telling you, he ain't in this church. Not in this church. Not in this church. This pulpit is for the preaching of truth.
Amen.
You haven't got truth in your heart to preach it, don't get up. You want to preach in this pulpit, you preach the word of truth. Because that's where the victory is. That's where we overcome. So he says, I've come to give division to the earth. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. How true is that? How true is that today? You look at family violence that's occurring all over the world today. There it is. He never came to bring peace to the world. He came to bring division, because when he left his stamp on the earth, man had a choice. It's either Jesus or it's the world. And if you're in the world system, that's what you can look forward to. Can you see now why your loved ones, people that you know out in the world, can you see why they're all in torment? Why there's no peace in their lives or in their homes or in their heart? Because the issue here is they can't get it. But guess what? If they come to a church and they hear the gospel preached, they're going to get peace. Because we've got it. The church has got the peace of God, and it's got to be revealed to the world. Only the church can give the peace that God is talking about here. No one else can. No one else can. Only the church. So, and Luke 2:14, take a note of it. You remember when Jesus was born and the angels, you know, broke out in glorious praise, they glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, don't miss that. Same word, peace, rest, prosperity. Same word, rest, prosperity, quietness. But he says, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth toward men. So God's declaring peace toward men, not among men. Not the Christmas card. Peace on earth among men. Don't there be peace among men? I don't care how big the rallies are down the street with peace signs. It doesn't matter. There'll never be peace in the earth apart from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How do we know that? The Word says it. Just like there's always going to be poor people in the earth. Why? Jesus said it. You'll never eradicate poverty. You hear it on television. 2025 will eradicate poverty or whatever it is. It'll never happen. Just like global warming is never going to happen. God's got this in control. Don't be caught with these false narratives. Let the Word speak to us. There'll never be peace in the earth like the world thinks there is. This world isn't going to heat up and melt until God declares it. And in Peter, he is, at some point, going to take this earth and wrap it up. It'll melt in fervent heat. That's it. Gone. And then there'll be new heaven, new earth. That's global warming, biblically speaking. I can tell you right now, you don't want to be around when that one warms up, because it'll just go. Man thinks he knows. He's got no idea. God's got it all covered. We need to stick with. Are we people of the book?
Yes.
Then we stick with the book. Don't listen to all that trash out there. It's all designed to get you away from the Word. It's the thief. That's what the thief does. And you might be thinking, oh, I'm just watching television. He's stealing. Stealing, because you're listening to things, and unless you say, that's not true, that's not what the Word of God says, then it's going to penetrate and plant into your spirit. Well, gee, maybe, you know, maybe it is getting a bit warm. Gee, maybe the government needs to spend billions of dollars on something that's a ruse. Come on. Come on. I'm telling you, this is where we either are on God's side, we do it His way, or we follow the trashy way of the devil. Well, that's for me and my house. We serve God. Care what you people do.
Amen.
Well, I do care. I care in the sense that you've got to follow the book. I do care. Otherwise, it's a waste of time for me. No, I do care. But you know what? It's not my care. Not my care. If somebody doesn't want to come to church, not my care. It's not my care. I have to do what He's called me to do. And those that sit under this teaching will receive from God. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, we're doing all right. Gee, where does time go? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. We have a speaking spirit that can declare no fear here. Yes. You need to declare it. No fear in this house. We will not fear because we've got the spirit of faith. We haven't got a spirit of fear. That's not our spirit. We have a spirit of faith. Because remember, we read last week in Romans 8 that we have not been given a spirit of bondage again to fear, which is slavery, but of a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, if we don't speak it, then your faith is in neutral. If you don't speak, you haven't put your faith in gear. Faith is given to us. It's a product of the recreated human spirit, but if we don't speak what's in our heart, you're in neutral. You can't go forward without declaring it by faith. Amen. And you do the same thing with the demonic spirit of fear. You say, no, I will not fear in this situation. It's not coming on me. I refuse it. Now get in Jesus' name. That thing will scurry off.
Amen.
It'll lift and go in a heartbeat. Because fear is a dark cloud. So you wake up in the night and you've got this oppressor, say, Jesus, it'll go. Out the door. Don't let it in your home. Keep it out of your home. And I'll tell you what, a good way to do it is keep praise music in your home. Not the trashy world's music. Keep music in there which is uplifting and it just fills your home with the presence of heaven. Keep the devil out. And you do that by speaking and telling him, not here, devil.
Amen.
Not here. He's a thief. He's a thief. All right. Hebrews chapter 2. We might bring it to a conclusion this morning with this. I want to get into another, but I really want to leave that till next week. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verse 14. And it says this. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. It's talking about Jesus. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, that's a picture of Israel under the law. They always had a fear of death because they always had to make sacrifices for sin. There wasn't one sacrifice that could cover them. There was continual sacrifice. So they were always in that place of fear and bondage because there was constant sacrifices because they never could be in a right place with God under the law. They couldn't. That's why they had sin consciousness. But today we're not to have a sin conscious nature. We're to have a righteous consciousness. A righteous conscience says, I am no longer a sinner. Don't go around saying, oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You're one or the other. Which one are you? You're saved by grace, you're an old sinner. But you can't be both. You don't have a sin nature, so you can't declare yourself an old sinner. We used to live that life. That was our lifestyle, like the world. But now we've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And I can tell you right now, once you're translated, you don't get translated back. It is not this. It's not like a ball over the net. In tennis, once you're translated out of darkness, you're sealed to the day of redemption. Now, the only way you can lose that is if you reject Jesus Christ and walk from Him.
Yep.
He's got you in the palm of His grip. See, people say, oh, well, if you keep sinning, well, firstly, there's a problem if you keep sinning intentionally. That's a problem in itself. It could be because you haven't hid the word in your heart, because if you hid the word in your heart, you wouldn't be sinning. David said that, I've hid the word in my heart that I would not sin against you. See, when we're full of the word, it constrains our behavior. And grace teaches us how not to sin. It teaches us. People say, oh, well, if you teach grace, I sin. Not according to this book. Not according to this book. Don't give me this idea that, well, if you preach too much grace, then they'll all just go out sinning. Well, you know what? There's a problem with that, because that's exactly what they told Paul. Isn't it interesting? So I'm on the right track. If people are saying that to me, I'm preaching the way Paul preached, because that's exactly what they said to him. What if you keep doing that? They're just going to have a license to sin. And you know what Paul said? God forbid. God forbid that they should be doing that. See, the devil wants to lie and steal the word.
Amen.
Do we get that? He wants to steal it. The moment we hear this and we teach it, he's going to give you good reasons. They well, don't necessarily follow that, because that's not all necessarily true. If you read it out of your book this morning, it's truth.
Amen.
It's the word of God. He's a thief and he wants to steal. But we no longer have a sin consciousness. That's why we don't have a fear of death anymore, because when we leave planet Earth, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, I was able to speak to somebody on Thursday. He was in a palliative state, man, he knew the Lord, and the next day he died. So I was, thank God I was able to get there to see him. And I prayed to the Lord, I said, Lord, give me an opportunity to be able to converse with this man, and he's in a lucid state. And apparently he'd been just sort of out of it. I got there, and I was open up, we talked for 20 minutes. Yeah, he said, yeah, God's been good to me. He looked after me for all these years. He battled with cancer. And he said, I have peace. I said, good on you, brother.
Amen.
I said, well, just rest, my friend. Next day, go on. When you're satisfied, go home.
Yeah.
You know? No tormenting spirit in him. He was ready. And God opened a beautiful door of opportunity for me to have a conversation with him. And when I left, he went back into a stupor. So, I mean, you know, God's a good God. God is a good God. And he only wants good for us. And he says, he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy it. And that is destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. He had the power of death. He ain't got the power of death anymore.
No.
He's got nothing. He's stripped.
Yeah.
He's naked.
Yeah.
He's naked. Because he's revealed. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Remember bondage? Slavery. Same word, slavery. I want to close with this. Every time we succumb or submit to fear, we go into a state of slavery. The best way to describe that naturally is Israelites being set free from Egypt, but choosing to go back into bondage. Set free, saw the power of God, but said, you know what? The leeks and the garlics and the cucumbers are better. At least we've got some food. Exactly what it is. It's a type and shadow. We've got salvation, but we want to go play around in the world again. Don't do it. Don't play around in the world. It's got needles in it and they'll prick you. It's not the sand pit you and I want to be in. We want to stay on the God side of everything. I'm telling you, if you're on the Word side of everything, you'll be on the God side of everything. Stay on the God side of everything. In your relationships, in your work situation, in your integrity and finances, in everything you do, stay on the God side of everything. And if you're not sure, don't make a decision until you get in the book and find out.
Amen.
And make sure God's involved in your world. Make sure God's involved in your world. And one last thing. Never ever use this faith you've got to take advantage of another human being. Never ever use your faith to get advantage. Never do that. We're not to put ourselves in a position where we take from the ones we serve. Never do it. Ever. Make sure that you're the blesser first and foremost. God is a good God. You know, next week we're going to move into this whole notion of fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Now, I've heard that spoken before and it's always stuck with me. It's a great expression. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And next week we're going to look at examples of that in Scripture where tolerated fear brought bondage and loss. Amen? Fear is not okay. It never will be. And we should resist it with everything we have. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.